The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Let's talk about the AIM2 Ardèche. It took place over the weekend. Patrick Tobin, the leader of AIM2, made calls for Ireland to have an international city in the country beyond the M50. He was suggesting, for the record, a kind of a competition whereby they could pitch against each other, to help win investment and secure investment. I think he was kind of agnostic as to where it would be, but it just had to be outside of Dublin. Economist and co-director of the Spatial and Regional Economics Researcher at University Business School in Cork is Dr. Frank Crowley. Frank, how are you?
Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
What is an international city, first of all, I suppose? Is there an official definition?
Well, I think it's a good question. I think people down in the regional cities in Cork and Limerick and Galway would consider themselves to be an international city. No, there's no real definition on it. And I suppose Petr Topin was probably referencing to the scale of Dublin, more so than anything else.
When we are talking about Dublin, we tend to diss it in most parts of the country. We don't like going there. All we hear about are problems from the people who live there, and all the investment seems to be lopsided on the East Coast. I mean, are we being unfair to our capital city?
No. I think you're probably being quite unfair in the sense that Dublin, in the Irish context, is quite large, but I suppose in the international context, it's kind of small fry, really. But, in terms of Ireland, you're talking the Greater Dublin area has a population of 2 million and it's growing extremely rapidly. Cork, in contrast, would have a metropolitan population of about 350,000. So you can just see the huge advantages that it has in terms of scale and critical mass. And that's largely the reason why Dublin continues to grow, really. It is its critical mass of population and firms. It's where most of the job opportunities are being created, and it just acts as a magnet, really, for future growth.
But is that down to the argument that is sometimes put forward that people don't want to go anywhere other than Dublin? So when companies are looking to locate here, they want to locate in Dublin. Whereas, if you look at the successful companies that we have in Ireland that aren't based there, I mean, they're big names. You have the likes of Dell, Boston Scientific, Apple, all the businesses that are happily based outside of the M50. Nobody's kind of given out when they're there. They seem to be quite happy when they're away.
Yeah, I think when you think about it in terms of an international context, like the likes of our provincial cities are very international in that sense. You know, a lot of foreign direct investment. You just mentioned some of the big names there. I suppose when you think back to when these big names established, they've been in these regions for quite a bit of time now. And when we're attracting new foreign direct investment, Dublin is more of a draw for them, particularly because they're more kind of footloose office-based type of industries, and it's easy for them to move. And they really want to be amongst a critical mass, a large population of people and firms. So that is one of the key disadvantages that we have within a provincial city. But in terms of considering Petr Tobin's discussion at the weekend, I suppose, at their Ardèche, this idea of rebalancing growth in the island of Ireland is nothing new. In 2018, to much fanfare, the present government, they launched Ireland 2040.
We're nearly there. Nothing's happened.
Nothing has actually happened because, we'll say in terms of Dublin, the projected growth was supposed to be 93,000 people. It was actually nearly double that, and the projections are way out for Cork, Limerick, Waterford and Galway as well.
I am old enough, right, to remember the launch of the National Spatial Strategy for 2002 to 2020. I remember going to the launch and as a Corkman, laughing quite loud at some of the suggestions that they were going to make places like Mallow into these massive hubs between Cork and Limerick, slap bang in the middle of a modern motorway. It just never happens. I mean, is it the market that dictates this, or can government actually do anything?
Well, you see, if you're going to make it, first of all, I suppose the market is the dominant thing here that's going to that's going to do it. It's capitalism, it's critical mass, it's population, it's firms. But it's what we refer to in the literature as agglomeration effects. But like one of the key things here is there is a role for intervention, but the intervention that we're doing isn't of large scale enough to make any difference to the current trends around population growth and employment growth. And like even if we take it back into the context of Ireland 2040, you know, in terms of where we're spending our money, you know, per capita, you know, it's still Dublin is still getting the most money per person. You know, when we're thinking about major projects, we're starting with Dublin as opposed to the provincial cities. So like we're very centralized system and we kind of have a monopolized mindset within Dublin. And it is a Dublin first type thing. And this is of detrimental impact to the goal of achieving regional balance.
Yeah. We were talking earlier on about offshore wind, and I threw in the idea that, you know, the best wind we have is off the north coast and off the west coast and the southwest coast. But we don't have the ability, the infrastructure for air grids to bring, if we build massive wind farms, to bring it ashore. There's no plan on doing that soon. Guess where they're putting all the infrastructure? On the east coast. And I'm kind of sitting there going, lads, we're not future-proofing the country at all here. And that's what we should be doing.
Well, not from a regional balance perspective. The idea is Dublin can get bigger. You know, as I said, internationally, it's still small fry, you know. But like, if we want to achieve a regional balance, then we're not future-proofing it. You know, I suppose one of the key things that, you know, provincial cities and other areas of Ireland have is maybe a quality of life advantage. But one of the issues that we have here is that, in some sense, in the provincial cities, we're creating mini Dublins. We're mimicking all the mistakes. We're very samey in terms of how we plan our cities. And really, we need to be very distinct.
Hang on, Frank. You suggest we have planning. We don't plan our cities. We let them happen in the hope that it might turn out all right.
Well, I don't think we can be overly critical on that. But I think one of the key problems that we have around planning is that it is very centralized. And like, if we want Dublin, or if we want Cork and Limerick and Galway to be distinct in their own right, they need greater autonomy, they need greater funding, they need to have a greater say in their future.
If we had, Frank Crowley, as Father Tobin was kind of suggesting, that there'd be a competition, not quite a gladiatorial joust between our regional cities to see which would emerge victorious, who would you back?
Oh, sure. It would have to be Cork, wouldn't it?
You see, I knew you were on my side. Dr. Frank Crowley.
I'm only saying from a scale perspective, Jonathan.
There's no follow-up to that. You've answered it now.
Yeah.
Frank Crowley of the Cork University Business School. Thanks very much for joining us. Killy Beggs is ready for offshore development, says one listener, and I'm sure it is. And hopefully we'll get some investment into Donegal, because that's a county that hasn't had enough of it over the years. And C has texted to say, Waterford, the oldest city in Ireland. You haven't mentioned it once in this debate. Still bitter over the hurling last weekend. Might get around it in a couple of weeks' time.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.